I bring greetings from India, which has 1.3 billion people. I don't know whether you can able to play. Okay, the Indian map. The Indian map, please. Okay, thanks. So I am coming from... No, the Indian map. Okay, that's good. Okay, thanks very much. So I am coming from India. You can see it's a very vast country which has 1.3 billion people. Okay, 1.3 billion. Okay, we are exceeding China. There's a city I am coming from called Madras, known as Chennai. It is on the seashore of the bottom. You can see Chennai, Bangalore, Chennai. So that is a city where I am coming from, which has 7.5 million people with ratio of 15 kilometers. 7.5 million people in one city called Madras with ratio of just 15 kilometers, not miles, 15 kilometers. We don't use miles in India. We use only kilometers. I think kilometers less. Miles are, I think, more than that. So we have the state I am coming from called Tamil Nadu, which has 62 million people. It is very surprising to you. India has a 24 different states. 24 different states. Each state, they speak their own language. For example, you take Delhi on the top, New Delhi. You can see that near Pakistan, everything. They speak Hindi. That is the main language. Every state speak their own language. That means 24 states speak 24 different languages. If I go to North India, I could not understand what they speaking. A North Indian comes to South India, where I am living, they could not understand what I am telling or I am speaking. So different dialogues. Apart from 24 languages, we have 30,000 dialogues in India. Sorry, 3,000 dialogues in India. Of course, they can communicate, but they cannot have the letters. They don't have rights. For example, gypsies in India, even until this day, they don't have a language. They can speak. They can communicate each other the language, but there is no literal word for them. So 3,000 dialogues in India, 24 major language. English is not my language. I learn English after I became a Christian. I will tell how I became a Christian. I born as a Hindu family. And I brought up in a Hindu faith until 1970. I don't know anything about Christianity. I will come to my testimony after some time. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about India. In India, we have 33,000 million gods. Listen to me carefully. 33,000 million gods. Not 33,000. 33,000 million gods. I don't know how many zeros you have to put. A lot of zeros. Okay. Every tribe has their own god. In India, the class system is there. High class, upper class, and the middle class, and the low class. Christians are treated as a low class in India. They call Dalit. That's why the Christian people are treated in India. So there is upper class. Those people have a different gods. The middle class, they have different gods. And the Dalit, low class, they have different gods. The low Christian people are treated as a low class in India. Apart from the religious side, Hindu people believe in reincarnation. They believe if a man dies, he will born again seven times. That is their belief. That's why they, as I said before, 33,000 million gods. They treat tree as a god. They worship tree. You won't believe that. That tree, they worship the, sometimes they put the garlands. In India, there is a concept, there is a view, faith. If a woman, she don't have an issue, child, she will worship a tree for 6 months. They believe that. And she put garlands and everything, flowers. They believe after 6 months she will have a baby. That's why they believe, they treat as a tree as a god. Also, they treat cow as a holy one in India. That's why Indian people, they don't take beef. They believe cow is a holy one, sacred one. Some of the Indian people, you don't believe that, they took the urine of the cow and they washed their faces. Can you believe that? I have done like that because I was a Hindu until 1970. I met the Lord in the year 1970 when I was 17 years old. I done like that. Even they put the urine of the cow and the sprinkling before the in front of the home. They believe the urine of the cow sanctifies their homes. Even they spring all the vessels. Such superstition. So I said before, 33,000 million gods in India. I think gods are more than the people in India. So everybody has having their own god. And also, the different language, different style. This morning I was checking the email, and I came to know, right now in India, it is 45 degrees, 108 Fahrenheit degree, right now. I'm living in a higher land, I will go back on Monday. So, I am coming from a hot country, warm country to the cold country. The next week I will go again, I will be in soup. If I go to India next month, sorry, next week. So right now in India, the weather is 45 Celsius. Can you believe that? Can you believe that, brother? We are used with. We are used with. We never put the suits like in. I put suit only on the date of my wedding. And then I never put the suit in my life. Because it is too warm for that. Even that wedding, after just for an hour, I remove my suit. Okay, so India is a different country. Apart from so many things I can say about India, that the average income of an Indian man is less than £60 every day. Sorry, every month. My father is 73. I think he is more than 74 now. He was working from the age of 10. He never went to school. From age of 10 until 70 years he was working. Thomas met my father. He goes 5 o'clock in the morning and comes 10 o'clock in the night. He gets less than £1. When we are kids, we never used to see our father because he goes 5 o'clock. That time we will be sleeping. He comes again 10 o'clock. That time we will be in the bed. So we don't have the opportunity. Even he works on Sundays. In India, no work, no pay. We don't have social security. We don't have disabled and the allowances, everything. God has blessed you in this land. You have all facilities. Okay, that's a different story. Okay, but we don't have the opportunities like as you have. But we love the Lord and we serve the Lord. The greatest opportunity that we found is Jesus. That's the greatest opportunity no man can have in this space. Jesus is one of the greatest blessing that man can have. So that we found that. So that's why we are so happy. So I would like to share my testimony. I born in a Hindu background and brought up in a Hindu faith. My father and mother, they taught me that Hindu religion is the best religion in the world. So they always used to tell me, we born as a Hindu, we live as a Hindu and will die as a Hindu. That's why they from the childhood they taught me like that. Even though I was a Hindu, I don't have any bad habits. Even my father is 73 now. My father and mother, they never attend a movie cinema theater even right now. Until this date. They never seen a movie in a theater. My father never touched alcohol in his life. He never smoked. Like that, he brought up me. Before, I would like to say one thing very clearly. India is a very old country. I'm going back to the history. India is a very old country. Have you ever seen the word India in the Bible? Anybody? Have you ever seen the word India in your Bible? If you have a Bible, please open and see the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 1. The book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 1. Somebody can read it for me, please. Why not James? Somebody can read it from the audience, congregation. Okay. Somebody can read it for me. No one is willing to read. Nobody wants to read.
Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia.
See, Can you find the word India? It is in your Bible. It is not in my Bible. It is in the English Bible, I'm telling. Not Indian Bible. It is the English Bible. Is it English or Indian Bible? An English Bible. I never seen England in the Bible. I never seen America in the Bible. Pastor, I never seen Ireland in the Bible, but I have seen India in the Bible. When Pastor prayed, somebody shouted hallelujah. Okay. So India is a very old country. Sorry, I forgot to mention that when I in the beginning. So my parents used to say our religion is the very old from India. From the word India, the word come Hinduism. The Hinduism has came from the word India, IND. So they put the Hinduism. That means Hinduism is the very old and ancient country in the olden in the stages. So my parents always taught me Indian the religion is the best religion in the world. So I used to go to the Hindu temple 3 times a day. You won't believe that. I don't see Christian people coming, not even one Sunday morning. I don't see people even Sunday morning service. I used to tell my people who come for the Sunday morning service, they are all spectators. People who come for the prayer meeting, they are the partakers. Or a spectator or partaker. People who come for the Sunday morning, they are just watching the football match. People who come for the prayer meeting, they are coming playing the football match. People come for the morning, they're watching the football match, they're viewers. But people who come for the prayer meeting, they are the players. Are you a player or a viewer? Are a spectator or a partaker? So, I was a Hindu man. I never doesn't know anything about Christ. In the year 1970, the Lord, through one of my Hindu friends, we lived together, we studied together, we slept together. Even though we are friends, we are more than brothers. So, in the beginning of 1970, my friend became a Christian. He was a Hindu. He was a very high caste, upper class man. He's a pure vegetarian. Okay, he's just like India. They say Brahmin. That's a very high caste. They are the priest. They are the people who are entitled to go to the sanctuary of the Hindu temples. So that boy come from that kind of background. He's the one who became Christian in the early 1970s. One day he gave me a John Gospel, the Gospel of John. He asked me. He explained many things about Jesus. In the beginning, I was adamant. I was rebellious. I was asking a lot of questions. I used to tell my friend, if I want to be a Christian, I could have born in a Christian family. Because I born in a Hindu family, I will live as a Hindu. I will die as a Hindu. So it is no question of me. I cannot be a Christian at any cost. But my friend prayed for me very earnestly. The Lord spoke to me 3 different occasions face to face. He spoke to me as a friend speaks to a friend. As a father speaks to a son, he spoke to me face to face 3 times. I heard the voice of the Lord very clear. He spoke through dreams. He spoke through circumstances. Even in spite of all the 3 conversations, I never committed my life to the Lord. In the year 1970, August, I met with an accident when I was traveling in a coach in Madras. There, the Lord met me and revealed me and said, I am the Lord, I am Jesus who spared your life. Many people died in that accident. I have my testimony how I became a Christian. So, I don't have a time. My time is very short. I asked to finish 9:20, something like that. So I want to be very quick. So this is my testimony, how I became a Christian from darkness to light. So you can read it very clearly. What are the three occasions, how the Lord spoke to me, everything. After I became a Christian, my parents came to know that I am a Christian. In the early stages, I used to read the Bible in my textbook. I will cover the textbook. And I, inside the textbook, I will read the Bible in the midnights. Can you believe that? I'm telling before the Lord, even 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, if everybody sleeps, I used to read the Bible because my house is 10 by 10. It is a 10 by 10. That's a living room. That's a kitchen. That is a dining hall. Everything 10 by 10. So we'll be all sleeping there. I used to read midnight, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock like that. So anyhow, they found me that I am reading the Bible. I became a Christian. Somehow they came to know I became a Christian. After I became a Christian, they sent me away from the home. I left the street. No food, nothing. They said one thing. If you are a Hindu, if you want to follow the Hindu our religion, you can be in our home. If you want to be a Christian, there is no room for you. You can go and stay with any Christian you like. In the beginning, they thought, because I am fond of love with some Christian girl, so that I became a Christian. I got saved. I became a Christian 17 years. I got married when I was 30 years old. Understand? I became a Christian when I was 17 years old. And I got married when I was 30 years old to prove that I have not become a Christian because of a girl or a woman. Okay? Just to prove that I prolonged my life. I'm going to tell one interesting story after that. I met my wife only at the altar. Can you believe that? Hello? I met my wife only at the altar 8/8/1983. I never spoke to her, no dating, no telephone call, no letters, nothing. Only the pastor said, "Stephen, that is the girl whom you're going to marry." I said, "Okay, pastor." And I met only at the altar 1983. We are going to complete our 25th anniversary next the August. No divorce, no problem, no. Why not you say amen? It's a surprise to you. It's a fact. It is a fact. I met my wife because Indian marriages arranged by the horoscope, Christian marriage arranged by the pastors. I am the pastor. Okay, I'm telling my testimony and then I will quickly finish. Okay. And then. Okay, thank you. Thank you, boss. So he's my ringmaster. So I am a circus. So after I became a Christian, they burnt three of my Bibles. They sent away from the home. I was left in the street. But in the year 1973, the Lord has given me a very good job. I got a job in Indian Railways. In India, 50% of the Indian population, there is unemployment. My daughter, I have three daughters. My first daughter is a master degree in business administration and master in philosophy. My son-in-law is PhD. Nobody, even the two people, they are unemployed. Can you believe that? My daughter is a master in business administration and master in philosophy. She don't have a job. My son-in-law is a PhD in sociology. Still, he could not get a job. Of course, they are doing job for only for 30 to 40 pounds every month. Can I believe that? So the Lord has given a very good job in the Indian Railways. But as soon as I got the job, my people, they took me in. But in spite of everything, they never talked to me for 13 years. If somebody asked my dad about me, he used to say, "He's dead. He's no more my son." He was such a very wild because I became a Christian. In the 1973, the Lord spoke. He called me for the full-time ministry through word. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 7. You can find, sorry. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 7. One day I was praying. I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, "You prepare and prepare your people and be a God for them." I said, "How? I myself not prepared. I just got saved 3 years back. I was just newborn baby for 3 years old. How can I do the ministry?" The Lord said, "I argue with the Lord because I have 8 brothers and sisters after me. I have to feed them. So I have a lot of responsibility. I argue with the Lord." The Lord said, "Follow me. I will make a way." I hear the voice very clearly. "Follow me. I will make a way. The Lord called me for the full-time ministry to do the work of the Lord in India. In India, as I said, the city where I am coming from, 7.5 million people. I started a small church, just a handful of people, in 1973. By the grace of God, we planted and we started 60 churches in the city of Madras. From 1973 until this date, we have started 60 churches, most of the churches visited by Thomas and Norman and his wife Yvonne in 2004 and 2006. In three occasions, he visited all my churches. Apart from my church ministry, in India, 50 million orphan children. Can you believe that? 50 million. The city where I am coming from, I have 5 million orphan children. They live in the street, they sleep in the street. They have no father, no mother. There is a book Thomas just now introduced. The book says, it is published by YWAM, Youth with a Mission. It says, there are only 14% of the Indian children go to school in India because of the poverty. There are child labor in India. No children goes to school. I discontinue my studies because lack of finance. My father and mother, they could not put me education. I learned English after I became a Christian. So the Lord has given me the burden about orphan children. He spoke to me very clearly. He gave me a word in the book of Lamentation, the next book of Jeremiah. The book of Lamentation, chapter 4, verse 4. That verse says, the last word I would like to bring your attention. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. This word came to me again and again. The young children ask for bread, but no one is willing to break for them. I said, Lord, what I can do? I myself, I just like an orphan. How can I take care of the orphans? What you expect me to do, Lord? He said, again, another word. The Lord spoke to me, the book of Lamentation, chapter 2, verse 19. He said, arise, cry out in the night. At the beginning of the watches, it spoke to me the last word. The last word, Brother James, please. The last. Young children. Yes. I have seen the children who are in hunger at the heads, the every street. They sleep in the street. They live in the street. They don't go to school. I said, okay, Lord. The Lord told me, when there's a saying in English, when God guides, He provides. When God guides, He provides. So I started a small children's home in 1985. From 1985 till 2008, we have trained and we have sent more than 2,000 orphan children through our children's home. Right now, we are having 135. We are having three children home. Two children, Thomas visited two of our children's home. One of the children's home is just working for the building project. So, 1985 to 2008, we have trained 2,000 orphan children through our children's home. Some of the children, they are well educated. One boy is a medical doctor. And one of the girl by name Getsi, she's doing a third year nursing in the city, in Madras. So, our boys are well educated, they are married, they are children, some of the boys are working for the Lord in India. So, God is blessing our ministry in various ways. Apart from my orphanage ministry, God has given me the burden of reaching Indians by literature. I have written so far 60 books in the Indian language. 60 books I have written in Indian language. My books are very popular. Everybody, they read my book. That is my main source of income to support this ministry. I have written 60 books. My books are very popular. One of my books is 600 pages. So that's why I'm running this ministry with the help of the people and help of the LMI, some of the people from UK. My dear brother and my dear sister, I want to say one thing very clear. This is the hour of India. God is moving in a tremendous way. In India, we never seen so far. In my church, I have a morning prayer meeting, Pastor. It starts 5 o'clock and ends 7 o'clock. 50 people comes regularly. Can you believe that? Hello. My morning prayer meeting starts 5 o'clock. And in 7 o'clock, 50 people will be regular. This morning I received an email. Today is our VBS. Okay? May, tomorrow is the first day of the May. So we started earlier today. So we started a vacation Bible school. 120 Hindu children came this morning. Just now I received an email. My wife talked over the phone. 120 Hindu children came this morning for the vacation Bible school in India, in our church this morning. They're all from Hindu background. Even from Muslims, they came. It will be going up to 9th. So that's why we started. Usually we start month of the first day of the May. So we, because of the two Sundays, we started this day. 120 children, all from Hindu background. The Lord is moving in various ways in India. It's a great move in India. I want to encourage you to come and see what's happening in India. Don't be sitting in the cold weather. Come and have a enjoy the warm weather in India. Have some curries. Okay? So, before closing, and also, apart from the ministry, we are feeding street children. We are feeding street children. Every month, we gather 200 children from the streets. We sing some songs. We give some soup and everything. It is called Soap, Soup, Salvation by William Booth. Soap, Soup, Salvation. Okay? We give a soap, and then we give a soup, and then we give a salvation. Because without giving something, the children won't come. So through that, we are reaching the adults. So every month, we are collecting 200 street children. They are not orphans. They are father and mother. But they don't go to school. They play in the streets. So we collect them. You can speak about that street children program. We started, see, the Hindu people started the same thing. You have seen that. When we start the street children program, they also start the same time. They put the table on the other side. They calling the children to come and sing some Hindu choruses, but nobody goes there. Everybody comes here. So it costs £50 to feed 200 street children every month. It costs £15 to feed an orphan boy, orphan girl, to have education, medical, and the school, shelter, everything. It costs £15. If you are interested, you can contact Thomas, and he will give the necessary information and everything. By closing, I want to say one thing very clearly. This is the hour of the Lord. Hinduism going down in India. People are fed up with religion because 33,000 million God. God is, even though India was a Hindu country, still it's a Hindu country. We have a lot of laws, rules and regulations. There is a law in India, anti-conversion. That means I should not convert anyone. If I want to baptize Thomas has to go before the court. The Hindu man has to go before the court. He has to declare himself that he's taking baptism on his own will. Nobody's compelled him. Nobody gave any gift to become a Christian. He has to declare before the court. Then only I can baptize a Hindu man. There's a Hindu law in India. But even though the law is there, God is bringing more people in our church now. My church has 99%. They're all from Hindu background. No one is a Christian. My teacher was teacher in my kindergarten. She was the one who taught me ABCD. She's member of my church. My lecturer in the college is the member of my church. My boss in the office working, he's the topmost officer. He's the member of my church. I never thought, when I look at the people, my teacher's sitting before. My lecturer is sitting before in front of me. The boss, when I was working in the railway, is sitting before me. But the Lord has lifted me above all. I praise and thank God. Finally, just I want to leave with the one word. In the book of 1 Samuel. In the 1 Samuel, there is a word. The king's business is very urgent. You can see the word in 1 Samuel. Okay, it will come. It is no. In 1 Samuel, verse 21:8. If you have anybody having the Bible, please read it for me. Please. Technology always fails, but Jesus never fails. 1 Samuel, chapter 21, verse 8. The king's business is very urgent. 21:8. 1 Samuel 21 verse 8. The last part of 8. The king's business is very urgent in King James version. In different translation, the king's business haste, I think, what is in it? Quiet. Okay. Requires. The king's business is very urgent. We are all in a king's business. The Lord has blessed you for a purpose. If you don't use the purpose of God in your life, you will miss the mark. You will miss the goal. You miss the aim. So, I want to say, please say with me, the king's business. Very urgent. That's why I am here. That's why we all are here. Of course, we have so many business. But the priority is the king's business. Priorities and priorities. Everything is important. Our life, our family, our job, our business, everything is important. But more important is king's business. That's why the Lord has blessed you in this land to be a blessing to many. May the Lord bless you. I have no time. I thought of singing an Indian song, but because of lack of time, of course, at the end of this meetings, he will play the Indian song. You can enjoy. I released 6 series, Indian languages. Of course, you can hear the music, even though you cannot understand the words. Music has no language. You can hear the song. Can I ask them to play? No time. No? Yeah.